in Messianic Judaism, and I've said this so often, I believe that terminology is so important. And it's not, as sometimes people will criticize the Messianic movement, it's not that we do certain things, we try to sometimes people will say we try to put up a Jewish picture where it isn't necessarily there. And that's what they will accuse us of doing when we change some of our terminology. But I believe that terminology is very, very important. And we don't do it to force an issue, but we do it because it is, in most cases, a true picture of the faith. And we're trying to present a true picture of the faith. And when I say that, as I so often say, I'm trying to present a picture of the faith that existed 2,000 years ago when Yeshua had his disciples, when the apostles went out, when the faith was, in a sense, a pure faith at that time, before man took hold of it and for 1,900 years turned it into something that wasn't necessarily what God wanted it to be. And so we try to show a true picture of what the faith in Yeshua truly is. I say that this morning because I want to talk about the word gospel this morning. The word gospel comes from the English translation of the Greek word, and the Greek word is, give me a minute here, it is euangelion. That's the word. Doesn't sound anything like gospel, but that is, it means really good news. And here's how we get the word gospel, because angelos is angel. In Hebrew, we have the word angel, which is malach. And malach not only means angel, but it means messenger. And so an angel is one of God's messenger. An angel is a malach. And so a messenger is someone that brings good news. Sometimes an angel brings bad news. But so they attributed it to this Greek word that had a portion of that word as angelos, angel, messenger. And so actually in the word we have evangelize, the word evangelize implies to bring good news. I sort of tried to bring it around to explain that. And so to evangelize really does mean to bring good news. Or, as it is termed today in most of the English translations, gospel. And that's how we get the word gospel. It's a reminder, and just sort of to connect this with our Torah portion this morning, then we'll go on. As God told Avram, lech lecha, to go out, Yeshua told his disciples to lech lecha. Yeshua told his disciples to go out and to, as people normally would say, to go out and preach the gospel, to give the good news to the people. And then eventually, Yeshua wanted them to go literally to as whatever the four corners of the earth we knew it back then were, and to bring the good news. So let's go to our first scripture this morning from Isaiah 52, verse 7. And Isaiah, these are the words of God. How lovely are the mountains, upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, and who brings glad tidings, which is basically the same thing, of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So this is the Hebrew, and we see the words. The words here that are in red are, it's basar. We see basar, mebarsar, mebarsar, and then we see the word Yeshua. So we see the word basar, which is good news or good tidings, or because the bet and the vet, obviously, you know, they're used sometimes interchangeably. One has a little dot in it to make it a bet, and if it doesn't have the dot, it's a vet. It's the V sound. So basar and vasar really are the same basic, they're the same word. And so basar means cheerful or announcements, or a cheerful announcement, if we put both of the meanings together. And so we have the word basar. And so basar, the Hebrew word, and so today, what we use, if we use it, and I don't use it here usually, but if you ever hear the word besorah, besorah means the good news. It's the good news that Yeshua wanted us to go out, and initially he wanted his disciples to go out to tell his Jewish people about it, and then eventually he wanted them to go out and not just to tell the Jewish people, but he wanted to tell the nations out there also the besorah, the good news, or as we call it today, gospel. And so I use the word gospel just conveniently today, but it is the same. Gospel, good news, besorah, good tidings, it's all the same thing. And so whatever subject matter that I might use, it is in the context of the good news. It's in the context of the good news. But it's interesting that Isaiah brought this up, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion. So if we are to sort of substitute the words here, the Hebrew words, interchange them back and forth, who brings good tidings of good things, who proclaims Yeshua, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And so this almost is very prophetic, that Yeshua wanted them to go out and to give the good news. And so how beautiful are on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. It's a beautiful thing. God thinks we are beautiful. God thinks that we are beautiful. Even our feet are beautiful when we go out and tell people about salvation through Yeshua. And we tell people about how we can attain salvation through Yeshua. If someone would approach you and say, hey, I have some good news for you. Now we can take that, the context can shift a little bit. I have good news for you. And when we hear someone says to us, hey, I have good news for you, it raises our expectation. What is it? Did you win the lottery? Did you just go and move into a new house? Are you going to give me a new house? You know, what does it mean? What is it? Are we going, you found a great restaurant that we're going to? What is it? It's good news. It's good news. So it raises our expectations. And so you want to hear the substance, and you want to have the substance match the expectation. Because sometimes good news to someone may not necessarily be good news to you. But in most cases, it will raise, if they say, I've got some good news, they're implying they're giving good news to us, and we want to hear the good news because it implies that the matter, whatever the good news is, will match our expectation, hopefully. And if it doesn't, you may be disappointed. If it doesn't match it, you might be disturbed if it doesn't match it, because you're expecting something that's good news. So I'm going to consider there are four aspects of besorah this morning, or gospel this morning. There are four ways to look at it. First of all, we need to look at the actual substance, as I said a minute ago. the substance. What is the good news? The second is the source. Where is the good news from, or who is the good news from? The third is the teller, who is giving it, who is actually saying it. And the receiver is, to who is it going to, or who is it being given to? And so let's look at Matthew and a couple of verses, a couple of scriptures from Matthew this morning, Matthew 4 and Matthew 24. And Yeshua went about all of Galilee and teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the gospel, the besorah of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And then also we read in Matthew, and this gospel, this good news of the kingdom, will be preached in all of the world, Yeshua said, as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So Yeshua wants his disciples, and if you have your sins atoned for by the blood of Yeshua, and you have accepted Yeshua into your life, and you've accepted God, the God of Israel, the Messiah of Israel, into your life, then you are a disciple of Yeshua. And Yeshua says, we are to go into the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Now, I'm going to want you to know something. We don't have to go to every nation, because there are believers in every nation. So it would be well if we just, in our own area at least, bring the good news. Because believers are all over the world. If everyone would just concentrate on their areas, then the entire world would get the good news, the besorah. But he said, and then the end will come. And in other words, we are not to stop bringing the good news. He wants us to bring the good news right up until the end. He wants to go out, lech lecha, go out and bring the good news. It is about, as we read here, the good news of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. Yeshua went all over Galilee and he preached the good news of the kingdom. And then he told them that this is the gospel, he says, the good news of the kingdom, and it's going to be preached. I want you to preach it. Notice this. He says this in both instances, and he says it other times, about the good news, the gospel of the kingdom. We need to understand that. And why do I say that this morning? Because it's about the gospel of the kingdom. It's not about telling people about the terrible things that are going to come in the end times. Those, they're called the last day people, that all they tell people how they got to prepare and go into the mountains and buy food and get supplies together because, when the Lord returns. That's not what Yeshua preached, and that's not what he wanted us to tell. He didn't want us to spend our time be doomsday people. He wanted us to tell about the kingdom. He didn't want to tell people how you're doing December 25th as a pagan holiday. You're doing it wrong because it is a pagan holiday. It never was, as you would term, a Christian holiday. He doesn't want us to tell people this. He wants us to tell people about the kingdom. He doesn't want us to tell people about the evils of Halloween and to harp them about it and to make it your mission to let everyone know how evil Halloween is. If you have a mission, if you're going to spend time, he wants you to spend time telling people about the good news of the kingdom. Amen. Is Halloween evil? Yes. Is December 25th the birth of Yeshua? No. But he doesn't want you to spend your precious time about them. He wants you to give the good news of the kingdom. And it's not about, and I know sometimes people, they don't really understand it. It's not about eating kosher. It's not about you spending your time about people telling them how they should eat kosher. Are we to eat kosher? Yeah. Is it clean and unclean? Yes. Were there clean and unclean animals of creation? Yes. Did they come into the ark even before the Jews existed? Yes. So does God want us to stay away from unclean animals? Yes. But don't spend a lot of your time. Don't make that your gospel. Don't bring the good news of eating kosher. Yeshua didn't say, bring the good news of eating kosher. Do we do it? Yes. Should we do it? Absolutely. Does God want us to do it? Yes. Is most of the world doing it? No. But that shouldn't be our mission. Our mission is to bring the good news of Yeshua. And I think you know where to put this into perspective. You see, it is not about being Jewish. And I watch people all the time, oh, I wish I was Jewish. Oh, I wish I was Jewish. And then I have people that are Christians, they're Gentiles, they accepted Yeshua as their Messiah, and they want to convert to Judaism. I said, do you know that if you go to an Orthodox rabbi, they're going to have you denounce the Lord? Well, they're going to have you denounce him. So either you're going to lie or you're going to denounce him. Either way, God doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to lie about it. He wants you to be bold about your faith, and he doesn't want you to denounce the Lord. But people, I want to be Jewish. Oh, I wish I was Jewish. I wish I was Jewish. It's not about being Jewish. Because all throughout the entire Bible, God tells the Jewish people in Israel how he's going to bring in the nation into this faith. And he doesn't say that they're going to convert to Judaism. It's not about being Jewish. There's no gospel of becoming Jewish. There is no gospel. Is it the fourth commandment? Yes. To honor the Sabbath and worship on the Sabbath and make a separate day? Yes. It is a Sabbath. It is God's day of worship. It is not the Jewish day of worship. It's God's day of worship. Does the church do it on Sunday? Yes. Can I help that? No. How's God going to deal with it? He'll deal with it. But it is not a gospel of worshiping only on the Sabbath. It is not. It is not a gospel to follow Torah to the letter. That's called legalism. Are we to follow the Torah? Yes. Are we to use it as our instruction? Yes. Do we use the entire Bible as our instruction? Yes. Is it all the Word of God? Yes. But we need to understand, don't spend your time teaching that everyone must be Torah observant. There's a difference between being Torah observant and following the Torah. And let the Spirit of God follow the Spirit of the Word and the Spirit of Torah as opposed to the letter of the Torah, every little thing. Because usually when you follow the letter of the Torah, you add not just the letter of the Torah, you add 20 other things with that one thing. You understand? You create an entire world of stuff that isn't even biblical and isn't even God's word. So it is not preaching the gospel of following Torah. This is not the gospel. Most of these things are good for us to do as believers. There are guidelines how to believe as a believer. But that's not what Yeshua sent us out to do. There are no gospels of those other things. And so I believe. Why do I believe it? Because Yeshua says it, that we are to bring the good news, the Besorah of God's kingdom. Now, of course, in bringing the good news of the kingdom, what's the good news? How do you get into the kingdom? Well, then we talk about Yeshua. We talk about the blood atonement. We talk about the sacrificial system. We talk about how God requires a blood atonement. We talk about how Yeshua came, how God came in the flesh and he died for our sins. We talk about that. Why? Because that tells us all about the kingdom. That's part of the good news. It's part of the good news. Yeshua wants us to do that. And the Shema every week. You know, when we get together at every occasion, We all recite the Shema together. Why do we do that? Because, you know, even in traditional Judaism, although maybe they may not be understanding the dynamics of the Shema and how great it really is, it's a custom to them to say the Shema every day. But the Shema, the words for us to say and to hear, blessed is his glorious kingdom for all eternity or forever and ever. So the Shema tells us that God is one, meaning there's only one God. Not that God doesn't have a Godhead, not that he can't have components. Example, the Father, the Son, and the Ruach, the Father, the Mashiach, and the Ruach, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if you will. God is one, but he is one. In other words, there is only one God. There are not all these gods, the gods of the world. This is what it was about, that it was that we have one God. There is only one God. In other words, the nations had all these gods and goddesses, but there is only one God, one true God. But that one true God has different he has different components of himself as a Godhead. We talk about three. The reality is he may have more that we don't even know about, and they may be revealed to us in the kingdom. We don't know. But the thing is, there is one God, and he has a kingdom that lasts forever and ever. In other words, it's eternity. In other words, if you get into that kingdom, you have eternity. You will not die. You will be with God forever. That's basically what the Shema is. So the Shema is part of this, of the gospel, of the Besorah, the good news. And so we look at these things. We have substance, source, the teller, and receiver. So let's look. The substance. The substance of the Shema is God is one and his kingdom is everlasting. That is the substance of the Shema. So we're going to go, we're going to look at some of these things, but let's go to Romans first here. And then Romans and Mark are in here. Shaul, Paul, a bondsman of Messiah, Yeshua, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel, the good news of God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Messiah, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. The beginning of the gospel, this part is from Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Messiah Yeshua, the Son of God. So it is the good news of Yeshua. It is the good news. It is the good news of the kingdom. But they knew that in order to preach the kingdom, you've got to tell people how to get into the kingdom. And so they say it is the good news of Yeshua. The good news is that God has an everlasting kingdom. But the good news is that through Messiah Yeshua, you can get into the kingdom. And so they both attest to this. And so, again, so for maybe some of you new, Why is terminology? Do we try to squeeze things into a Jewish way? Do we call Shaul, where the Bible, the English Bibles call him Paul? No, because his name was Shaul, and that was his name. And so we talk about who he is. My name is Alan, and my Hebrew name is Yitzchak. When a Jewish child is born, they are given a Hebrew name and an English name. So when he was born, he was given the name Shaul. And then he was a Greek citizen, he was given the name Paulus. See, and so his name was Shaul. That was his name. So we're not trying to, people will say you try to make everything Jewish and use all these Jewish names and Hebrew names. We're not, that's his name. Oh, you call him Yeshua. Why don't you just call him Jesus like his name really is? No, because his name is Yeshua. What's so important to that? What's important is when the angel Gabriel came to his mother, Miriam, the angel said, you will call him Yeshua because he will save his Jewish people from their sins. So what does that mean? You're going to call him salvation, Yeshua, because he's going to be the salvation to his people. The reality is that I don't want people, and any people that are listening out in the World Wide Web here, I don't want people to get the wrong impression, but the name Jesus doesn't mean anything. It's a name made up so that he wouldn't have a Jewish name. Jesus, the name Jesus, English Jesus, didn't even exist until around the writing of the King James, hundreds of years ago. So why are we calling him Yeshua, not to try to squeeze it into a messianic Jewish context? No, because that's his name. But it's dynamic. It's his name, salvation. And so when people will say to me, even Jewish people will say, well, if Jesus is really the Messiah, how come we don't read about him in our Tanakh? You do. Every time you see the name, or most of the time, you see the word salvation. God puts it into the context that you could just easily slip in the name Yeshua, and it fits perfectly because God is talking about, behold, God is my salvation. You also have become my salvation. And so behold, God is my Yeshua, and he also has become Yeshua. So we're not squeezing anything into any kind of box here. The context is important. And so it is Yeshua's good news. However, number three, the teller, and number four, who it is going to, that should concern us this morning. So let's look at a couple of more verses here, 2 Corinthians and Galatians. But I fear, Shaul writing to the Corinthians, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your mind may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. For if he who comes preaches another Yeshua, who we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. This is his concern to the Corinthians, and this is his concern almost 2,000 years ago. Okay, where am I in my notes here? All right, and then Galatians. Let's look at Galatians. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Messiah to a different gospel. Galatians, you say you've accepted Yeshua, now all of a sudden you're going to go to a different good news. Somebody else's good news you're going to. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Messiah, as we have said before. So now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. In other words, there was another gospel. There were a lot of other gospels going around, and I got news for you, there are other gospels going around today. It was 2,000 years ago, but it's still happening today also. There is one Yeshua, and there is one gospel. There is one good news, and it is the good news of the kingdom, and it is the good news of Messiah Yeshua. And there is only one Yeshua. There are not two Yeshuas. There are not alternative Yeshuas. There's not another. And there is only one Yeshua. And it is, here's the thing, the good news, the Besorah, is simple, it's basic, and it's uncomplicated. If people can just understand that. It is uncomplicated. It's a simple message. I gave it to you a couple of minutes ago in like three sentences. It's simple. But people want to complicate it, and they want to add all these other things to it. You know, in the book of Acts, the Council of Jerusalem had this thing. We have Gentiles coming into the faith. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? All these Gentiles, they want to accept our Messiah. They want to say our Messiah and our God. They want to accept Yeshua and our God. What do we do with them? How do we handle them? And some of them said, oh, they have to convert to Judaism. But then Peter comes up with the answer and he says, the Ruach told me, the Spirit of God told me that we are only to not complicate it, give them some basic things to learn, And he said, and the reason the Spirit told us, just, they don't have to convert to Judaism, they don't have to go through all these things in Torah, they don't have to do all these things. Just give them this, the basics, to do and to stay away from and to do. Why? Because, it says, they're going to come to the synagogues every week to worship on Shabbat, and every week the book of Moses and the prophets will be preached. In other words, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, will be preached. And that's when they'll learn a little bit more each time how they should live and not live, and what to do and not to do. Not only does that show us that it is a simple gospel, but it shows us that that's where they went. They went to the synagogues when they accepted Yeshua. They went into the synagogues, and they learned from the Torah and from the Tanakh. They learned from the entire Old Testament. Of course, we know there was no New Testament at the time. See, so the thing is, it's uncomplicated. It is basic. It's simple. I said there are other gospels even today. And there are some out there, they're not off the wall. They seem, that seems pretty logical. That seems good. They even have, it seems that they have some scriptures in there to back it up. Maybe it's a valid gospel. Other gospels don't have to be off the wall to be wrong. Because Yeshua, or Shaul, said that they were crafty. Didn't he? Before? He said they're crafty. You know what that means? They know how to work it and word it and to make it sound valid. He knew. They're going to give you another gospel, and it's going to be crafty. It's going to sound good, and you may accept it because it sounds so good, but it's crafty. And he says it's from the evil one, and you know how the evil one can be crafty and conniving and do that thing that sounds so good and looks so good. As far as the intricacies, let God handle that stuff in the heavens. Let's just know the basics, and let's go on, and let's do what we feel that the Spirit of God wants us to do, and let's live the life that God wants us to do. We don't have to go out there to look at other stuff He wants us to do. It's all in this book. It's here. It's enough. Let's just do it. And if there's other stuff that God wants us to know about, and maybe some secrets of the kingdom, He's going to tell us when we're in the kingdom. And there's stuff, no matter how much we teach, and no matter how much we find out about, we're going to look, when we're going to get there, we're going to go, and we thought we knew it all. So let's leave that to God. It's a simple gospel, and He wants us to tell people about that simple gospel. It's simple. We have sin in our lives. We're born into sin. We need to have those sins atoned for. God has given us a way through Messiah Yeshua. The blood of Messiah atones for our sins. That's it. Now you can talk a little more about it if you want. You have my permission. But that's it. It's just like prayer. It's like prayer. We pray, and you know what? And I say this now, I say this every week because I want people to know. You don't need to spend an hour with somebody to pray with them, in most cases, but not every week. I understand that there are sometimes people need some things, but not every week. And if we pray, we can just pray a simple, you know why? God already knows the prayer. He knows the request. He knows their heart. He knows the hearts involved. He knows what the need is. So if we just give a simple prayer and bring it up and just pray with the person, God's going to handle it in the heavenlies. It's the same way. It's a simple gospel, It's not intricate. We don't have to deal with all that. We don't have to learn new and exciting things. Oh, somebody out there is teaching this and somebody's looking at that. And on the web, I can look at this, this, and I can look. We don't need that stuff. Don't worry, God will handle it. If it's valid, if it's true, and if it's kosher, God's going to handle it. And if it's not what that person is teaching, he'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. So you just stay away. He says, stay away from those things. So we pray, and God is going to move. He knows of the situation. He takes care of the heavy stuff. When presented by a false witness bearer, number three, the false witness bearer, the receiver, number four, would get fake good news. We got a lot of fake news going on around today. Sounds good, doesn't it? And it's on both ends, they think it sounds great. But a lot of it is fake good news. Well, when the false witness bearer gives their good news, they present it in a crafty way, and it sounds like good news, but it's fake good news from a false witness bearer. Okay, let's go back to Scripture, 2 Corinthians. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And yes, is our gospel, are there things that are veiled to us? Yes. Like I said, it's a simple gospel, the good news, but there are certain things that are veiled. And the thing is, the things that some people think are, it's too complicated for me, I don't understand it. Well, if you're presenting it in a simple way, that should take care of a lot of that stuff. But the thing is, there are sometimes people, you give them the good news. You tell about sin, you tell about the blood, you tell them about Yeshua. And if they, to them, it's they don't understand it, because at that point, they're in the perishing world. They don't understand it. They have eyes that don't see, they have ears that don't hear. All of us at one point had eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear. We are in the perishing category at that time. We're in the world. And so he's telling, listen, there will be people, when you go out and you bring the good news, they don't hear it. They won't accept it. They won't hear it. They don't want to know it. They don't see it. That's because they don't have, their heart has not been turned from stone to flesh. You have to understand that. Think about this. Think about it. At one point, you were at that time. Think about it and understand that you were there once. Maybe that would give us a little compassion and mercy for those people. Shaul says, I'm going to look. No, okay, because he said in the other ones, but this is what he said before. We won't go back to it, but he said our gospel. He said our gospel, and he said that we bring this to you. So he's talking about, obviously, the disciples and apostles that are doing it, but Shaul many times has talked about, he calls it his gospel, his gospel. In other words, is it Yeshua's good? Is it the good news of Yeshua? Yeah, it's the gospel of Yeshua. But it's calling his gospel because there were people out there that were Judaizing, and they were telling people you got to convert to Judaism. He told the Gentiles they got to convert to Judaism, be circumcised to be saved by Yeshua. That become a false gospel. And he said, my gospel is Yeshua's gospel. It's from the word of God. So he tells us that it is his gospel. And he says, we present it basically, basic and simple, and it's not that we need to go searching for all these things, like I said a few minutes ago. So here's the thing, and I'll name some names this morning for us here this morning, and for maybe people out there that are in the listening to it on the message on the internet. It's Yeshua's gospel, and it certainly is not Ralph Messer's gospel. And I know people here went to Ralph Messer. And I have some people that got caught up in that whole thing. It's not Ralph Messer's gospel, but he presents it like it is his gospel. And he tells people how it really is. And he distorts things. He even starts way back with Adam and Eve, and he distorts stuff. And I've heard some of this stuff. It makes your head, it's crazy. But ooh, people love it because, ooh, I didn't know that. Ooh, that's, ooh, I know something that other people know. It's Ralph Messer's gospel, people. It's a false gospel. Is there some truth in it? Absolutely. But there's always some truth in the deception. It's the craftiness of it. It is not the Ephraimite gospel. And part of that gospel, it's amazing. The Ephraimites, the two stick people, the lost tribes people, if you notice, their gospel is a Ephraimite gospel. It's not about Yeshua and the blood and sin. It's about you too can be a Jew because you're part of the lost tribes. That is their gospel. To be a Jew, you can be a Jew. That's their gospel. Do they include Yeshua and many of them in it? Yes. But the emphasis is on you are part of the lost tribes and somehow in a billionth of your blood is Jewish in there and you don't even know about it. And you're a Jew. You're an Israelite, they say. You're not a Jew. You're an Israelite. And your whole, what happens is their whole life get consumed with the fact that I'm an Israelite. I got to wear everything that's Jewish and do all the, have to do everything. And then eventually they got to do everything by the letter of the law because they're a true Israelite. It's a gospel of the lost tribes. It's not a gospel of Yeshua. There's the gospel of Monty Judah's gospel. He's out there, this guy Monty Judah. He's been around for at least 30 years. He's a false prophet. On occasions, he called for the return of Messiah. He gave a date, and he said, if you're not believing me, then you're not believing God's word. And he called on two separate occasions that Yeshua was returning. And he gave one day of Purim, and gave two different times. The guy should have been stoned then. Maybe he was stoned at the time that he, I don't know. It's a joke. But it's the gospel of Monty Judah, and people get his newsletter, and they think he's so great, he's a great teacher. He's an Ephraimite, people. It's a false gospel. And the last one that I put down on my list is a long list, unfortunately, today. We got a lot of deceivers and a lot of deception out there because we're getting very close to the end times, I believe. We have the gospel, the Michael Rood gospel. Ooh, he's in here. He is such a good Israelite that he has a beard down to the floor. But he has all these things. They're wrong. Yes, he has some exciting teachings, and I can tell you the true calendar, and I can tell you when this is really, and that's really, and I can tell you all these real things. That's not part of the gospel. The gospel is the good news of Yeshua. You can get some neat, interesting, ear-tickling stuff from him, but it's deceptive to people. And it's not Messianic Judaism, and he's an Ephraimite, and he's a two-sticks people, and that's what it is. And people, Shaul said, you're better off staying away from it. You would be well to avoid it. So don't listen to me, listen to Shaul. If you don't want to listen to me. Shaul saw this urgent need 2,000 years ago, and we still have that urgent need today. Why is it? Why is it? Why? I was talking to somebody about this before services. They didn't know what my message was about this morning, but we talk about it because why is it? Why is it the man does? Why do they do things 2,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago? They still do things today because we are the same people. We weren't cavemen 5,000 years ago, and now modern man today. We were the same people. See, there is none of that whole thing. And so the thing is, we have the same heart. We're born into the same condition, the sin condition. So we rebel. We rebel. God is trying to pull us close to him, and our flesh is repelling God. God gave all these miracles to get Israel out of Egypt time and time again, time and time and time and time again, and they still complained and they still rebelled. And people still do that today because of that. The common denominator is our condition. As man, we are born into sin, and that's it. And so Matthew 24, verse 3 and 4, I think this might be one of our last, hallelujah, one of our last verses. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, as Yeshua sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Don't we want all that, know that? We would like to know. But I don't think he's going to tell us. And Yeshua answered and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." In other words, wow, that's why. Why are we seeing Tomei? Why are we seeing so much garbage in the internet today? Because we are in the end of days, the end of the age, because that was his only answer, his first answer. It wasn't his only answer, but that's the first thing he said. When they said, "What are these things? When is it going to be? When is it going to be the end of the age? When are you going to?" And he said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." 2,000 years ago, it's the same message today. See all that garbage around you? Stay close. Bring in close. I'm not expecting everybody to come in here and just believe everything that I might say or what they may think. I don't expect you to, no matter what happens or what I do or what I say, you're going to believe in me right or wrong. I don't expect that. I give a lot of scriptures because I want you to think that whatever I'm teaching or preaching this morning is from the Word of God. But please, never be so blind. It's good. I want people to love their leaders and to stick up and stand up for their leaders. Absolutely. But not blindly. And so I don't want people to go out there and to be deceived. And there's a lot of deceiving going out there. And even from our people and even our members. And I can't stop you from being deceived in that way. But you can stop you. And Yeshua said, that's the most important sign of the end times, is when there are people out there trying to get your attention to deceive you. Stick with the simple, basic good news of Yeshua. The salvation message is the true message of God's kingdom and how to enter into it. And we are responsible to tell others. And we are responsible to spread the word. We all have the opportunity. You don't have to have a ministry, full-fledged ministry, but you have neighbors and friends, and you have people that you meet all the time. And you don't have to be a chatterbox that everything that comes out of your mouth is the word of God. Have a little balance here, but you have opportunities, and people put people in your life every day to give you opportunities to bring the good news without being a fanatic. And last, we are responsible to live it. And so we should live it one step at a time, and it's simple. And live it one day at a time, and it is simple. And if we do these things, we would all do well. And I want all of us to do well. I want us to be happy in what we believe. I want us to be happy in what God is doing in our lives. I want us to be happy at what's happening in our lives through the Spirit of God. I want us to be happy and content, but at the same time, willing to go out and to do the things, lech lecha, do the things that God wants us to do. And we would all do well, each and every one of us. Lord, I ask that you are going to just put it on our hearts. If we hear these words this morning, let them see what you want us to do. Let us see what Yeshua want us to do. And let us to truly understand that we don't have to go out. We don't have to go out and search for anything. But when we find a home that you have sent us, it should be sufficient for us, for each and every one of us. And so we praise you, Lord, for your word, and we praise you for your ways. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.